Best Threesome Ever, episode 21, sponsored by Minds Like Comics. I'm Nick.
I'm Rob.
I'm Kevin.
And I'm Crystal.
Yay, a female.
Yay.
Ew, girl.
she's got cooties.
Our podcast is old enough to drink, so this time we decided to bring a girl.
And I'm drinking.
You actually are drinking.
Really, he actually is drinking.
Why are you not sharing?
Right?
What? Do you want one? They're in the fridge.
I really don't.
I thought that whatever pairs with beer when he asked what kind of burger do you want.
But
it's also like MGD beer. Light or
I was going to say yeah. Well you said
McGolden
beer,
Light
and you pulled out a McGolden
Light.
You know, so, I like my beer flavored
water.
What goes
with water?
It's beer flavored water. Thank you very much. I'm just saying.
Make mine a white wine spritzer.
I like apple teenies. They make me
feel fancy.
I don't care. They're
so
called.
Happy Monday, everyone.
Right?
I realize it's Friday, but by the time this comes out, it'll probably be Monday.
It's probably Monday.
I'm you calling from a future phone. Sell all your stocks and oil. Everything runs on potatoes.
Fuck this happened.
I don't know.
What's going on here? Did we lose all control already?
Usually.
We usually do, but I'm a little impressed it started on minute
two. So let's talk about our guest.
Yeah, hi, Crystal.
Hi, Crystal. You want to talk about me?
Well,
I mean,
to you about
we've
you.
We've mentioned you.
And it's better that you're in the room.
We've mentioned you a number of times on the podcast. So.
Yeah, and you were on the...
You're dating. What's his name?
Jim.
Thank you. Jim. You're dating Jim.
Yes, totally. That Jim.
It's spelled G-Y-M-E.
Gime.
G-H. Is there an H in there? Is it silent?
He prefers Jim, and he'd like you to accept his life choices.
What's a gime?
Oh, a gime. Solid Simpsons reference.
Yeah, right.
So tell us about yourself, Crystal.
Don't start with that. No. I see you starting too, Rob. No.
No. It's all right. So, folks, if you would like to be our new third host on Best Threesome Ever after Crystal kills the shit out of Kevin.
Yay. By the way, I will be looking for couches to sleep on. Couches.
Glad I don't have a couch.
Why not?
You don't have a couch. That is really interesting, Nick.
His apartment, we always record this podcast at Nick's place, and his living room is roughly set up like Chandler and Joey's from Friends with just the two armchairs
in front of a TV.
There's six chairs in front
of the television.
And my $20...
Fancy.
I know. My $20 green felt... rocking chair, which is like the most comfortable little chair to sit in.
It's the grandma chair. Everybody has the grandma chair.
Also, a nondescript office plant. You do. It's the green chair right there.
Oh, that's a grandma chair.
My grandparents never had that chair. Never had a chair.
It doesn't. Oh my god! Literal Lucy.
I'm confused.
It's just it in and of itself is kind of a grandma chair.
Okay.
It's a chair a grandmother would sit in.
Yeah,
rocking, macrameing a fetus or something. I don't know.
$20 at Goodwill.
So, Crystal, dating Jim, what's that like?
Yeah.
It's really sort of.
Or you could tell us about your YouTube channel.
Okay, so let's go on to that because that's a lot easier. And Kevin snores. It's true.
Thank you.
So I am the creator of a BookTube channel called Digital and Vellum, and we've talked a little bit about it when we did the Convergence podcast, but to reiterate again,
technically you're our first returning guest.
Uh-huh.
Kind of.
Maybe. Sorry. I don't know. Either way, so I review books and do silly tags and read a lot and am in general just a huge, huge literature nerd, and that's what I do. So videos, me acting like a dork in front of a camera are on YouTube, again, at Digital and Vellum, or I have a website as well, digitalandvellum.com. Lovely and Facebook and all that fun social media jazz. So check it out.
Yeah, we'll link to it in the description below. Like when
also, if you'd like a really easy way to find both us and Crystal at the same time, you can go to geekbynumbers.com.
You can.
Yeah.
And as soon as the layer starts getting up, you'll be able to find the layer there as well.
Yes, you can also find my other podcast, Late to the Party, podcast.com.
That's never been mentioned before. On there.
No, never. No.
Who's now being followed by the guy who did Chocolate Rain?
Right?
Chocolate Rain.
Yeah, but he also...
I know, it was mildly dirty.
Chocolate Rain.
How many followers does he have? How many things does he follow?
Doesn't matter. Don't take away his joy.
Yeah.
I got your back this time.
Though technically, again, we also have the whole Geek by Numbers crew here too.
At least of
the base core,
the leaders,
the creators of their respective groups,
the heads of state. Okay, welcome to our new podcast called Heads of State.
That's weird.
Emphasis on the head.
I was going to ask you, Crystal. So, when you first met,
wait, hang on, was that porn music?
It sure was.
It was an attempt.
But porn music is waka chicka waka chicka waka chicka waka
chicka.
There's a chicka in there?
Yeah, sometimes.
I feel mine was.
You just waka chicken.
I like
waka chicken, waka chicken, waka chicken, waka chicken.
I like Kevin better.
Thank you.
Really?
Yeah, because it was more...
That sounded like, more that, porn-like from more, Kevin than...
I mean, I'm not saying yours wasn't porn-esque. I'm just saying that yours... I'm just saying yours would be like the lead-up, maybe. Like the masturbation scene, maybe.
Right, right. No, I'm
and that's because that's all he watches.
Yeah.
Probably.
That's all he gets through.
That's more accurate.
I was going to make the joke before either of you, but...
See, and that's where you just skip?
Just get to the good parts that you like.
Sometimes.
You don't have to watch the whole thing. I mean, unless you're watching for the story.
I'm just saying, the girl gets naked and, done. Right,
well, at least he's honest.
Yeah, I'm okay with it.
Bernadette's like, you're done already?
Huge penis, very little self-control.
Apparently, we're just taking off clothes today.
Well, fuck it.
No, Rob, no, gross.
Put it back on.
It's
put it back on.
It's actually kind of warm in here. I wouldn't mind it.
It is kind of warm.
It is a trifle warm in here.
Yeah.
Why else do you think I lost my top?
Fair enough. So I was going to ask
because
before
we're secretly playing strip poker while we're doing this.
I was going to ask Crystal prior to.
By the way, I'll take three.
All of the interruptions.
Yeah. He's pretty good at that.
Great.
And now I understand your editing.
Right. Yeah. Thank you. So before you met Kevin, obviously being a big book nerd, how much of Kevin's nerdiness? Did you understand? Did you have to learn about? Or did you pretty much already get most of it?
I came in with a fairly comprehensive geek repertoire already. Yeah. He's not the first geek in my life. Well, I
have a lot of Star Wars stuff at home, and I would say at least half of it's hers. So.
Oh, yeah. I'm a huge geek just because I don't game. That's right. That's the only geekdom that I severely lack, but I can talk the tabletop lingo. Right. I can't.
She does old school games. She had a PS2 and an SNES already when I met her. We've played Donkey Kong Country. She currently plays Kingdom Hearts, so she's trying to
Connect
rock through
Four.
The second one.
Yeah, Connect Four is awesome.
Connect Four.
I do play card games, which that's something that
he
can't play. If we want to talk cribbage or Zomba Canasta.
Wow. Oh,
see, that's what I was trying. That's the game I was trying to tell you about. The zombie Shasta. I mean, Shasta McNasty. That's the one.
Yeah. Not a. Yeah, Shasta McNasty.
I told you it was real-ish.
I think we linked.
I don't think anyone would believe that Gary Busey's son is real-ish.
It was blown up by Jake Cock-a-Doodie Busey.
No, I mean, I think we both expanded each other's geek repertoire.
No, all right, sorry.
Yes. A little bit, though, I mean, admittedly, because you weren't really too much into cosplay before you met me. You did a little bit, but now you know that the conventions that we go to, we plan it out.
I was a
steampunk world.
I definitely did my own costuming, but I definitely have more sources and I would say people I can go to now because of you. So.
And the steampunk world, the steampunk conventions and everything, too. Yeah. Mm. So.
Nice. I was just asking because I know, because Rob has mentioned that on Late to the Party, that you are coaching Bernadette through the geeky nerd world.
Yeah, but that's different.
I know.
Like, that's really different.
I know, but I just wanted to see how much.
Also, I would like to applaud you on your really chauvinistic way of asking Crystal how Kevin has affected her geekdom. I enjoyed that.
I'm sorry.
I was trying to ignore it. My inner feminist was trying to ignore it.
Mine couldn't. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry I used my words inappropriately.
I heard it. I'm like,
girls are allowed to be geeks too.
Rob was triggered. Everyone, Rob was triggered.
That was not the intention behind the question.
I just want my safety blanket and my emotional support Cheetos.
Why are you blushing?
God, I want Cheetos.
I'm really warm. I'm not blushing.
It's quite warm. I'm going to turn on the air.
Take your hat off, dum-dum.
No!
He says no,
and then
but he really means yes.
I'm real easy like that, ladies.
Kiss.
Said Brock Turner.
Oh.
Oh, snap.
Wow.
Triggered.
Anyway, where were we?
Do we have topics for this? How does this actually work, guys? It's not like I don't listen every single week.
Right? We will have...
See this magical notebook?
We have loose topics. I have a couple of things I want to bring up and talk about. And we get there eventually. We play Ring Around the Rosie with our subjects.
We start with the notes on the notebook and we...
Go off on tangents.
Yeah. A whole lot of tangents, and then I got to edit through all the tangents. The one real quick thing I wanted to bring up in recent nerd news was they kind of announced and kind of previewed the bad guy for the new Spider-Man, which was Shocker.
Yeah, I saw that.
And it was a brief few. I'm assuming it was a costume test, like he was going up and downstairs.
Nobody from Marvel or Sony has said it's Shocker. It's Shocker.
I don't want it to be because our last villain was Electro, and he's basically the same fucking dude.
That's kind of what
only
I was
shock. Thinking. Only Shocker wore a padded suit,
with the shocker fingers.
Visual gag on an audio podcast.
Hooray!
That was for you guys.
With his hands.
So, but no, and a lot of the concept art and stuff like that was really hitting hard towards Vulture, and he's right. I
think
really
we're still getting
him.
Vulture. Though.
I have a feeling they might DC all over this and do the too many bad guys again with what they've done in past Spider-Man movies. But yeah. I know it's a Marvel movie, but.
But Sony still has quite a few.
Right, but that's what I'm saying is that they're going to go, we need more than just one bad, and I hope they don't. Like, maybe they're both in there. I really hope they don't. Or maybe Vulture might be, he beats the bad guy, he beats Shocker, and then at the end, there's a little snidbit of...
Snidbit?
Here's
snidbit?
Okay, he says that every time.
Here's my thought on it. Is that the Shocker will be in the first 5 minutes of the film because he's such a D-list fucking villain that nobody honestly takes the Shocker seriously.
He would be like an intro to the movie, villain to take care of at the beginning to just set up the fact that he's in the big leagues now.
Yeah. Yeah, it's Spider-Man coming in, doing his shtick, beating up the Shocker, and the police go, thanks, Spider-Man, for helping us out with that guy.
Like Scarecrow at the beginning of The Dark Knight.
Yes.
Yeah.
Crossbones at the beginning of Civil War.
Correct. Yeah. Excellent.
Yeah.
I like it.
Which, by the way, I don't know if I've mentioned this yet, but what a criminal use of Crossbones. I thought he was a delightful character in the first film.
I wish they would have used more of him, especially his suit was baller.
Yeah, right. His suit was super cool, and I really wish they could have used him more, but they didn't, and that's upsetting.
And I think they briefly... I don't even think... They didn't even refer to him as Crossbones. They just referred him as... the character
I feel
name.
Like there was some sort of... like.
Don't make eye contact with me. That's weird.
I remember there might have been like a newspaper flash, like in... like. You know, Crossbones is wherever escaped or whatever, but I don't think the Avengers team said anything. What are these two doing?
I don't know.
Flirting across the table, isn't it obvious?
Speaking of Spider-Man and villains being announced, Joe Manganiello from such wonderment as...
Flash Thompson of the original Spider-Man?
Of the original Spider-Man.
Yeah.
As well as many other things, mm-hmm. Magic Mike and How I Met Your Mother. And
Magic Mike 2 XXL.
And the brief appearance
on
Scrubs.
I didn't even watch that.
And, that's right.
Because he was JD's bully in high school.
Also, True Blood.
And True of Long Time. Or whatever his name was in True Blood.
Yeah. Alcide.
Yeah.
That's some
Final Fantasy reference. but no, he is going to be Deathstroke, the villain in the new Batman movie.
Yeah, I'm kind of excited about that. That's a good choice.
Now, here's my concern. Here's my concern.
Very big guy.
Now, Deadpool, as everyone knows, is based off of Deathstroke.
What?
That's a really nice way of saying it. Sure.
It was stolen violently from DC, and
you're closer.
I feel like there's a lot of that happening between DC and Marvel.
Oh, there always has been. But like, he is one of the most predominant. I know that's going to give me a freaking
seizure time.
So, what is this? An episode of Pokemon? So very, very, like, this is one of the biggest ripoffs. Like, Slade Wilson, Wade Wilson, their costumes were very mm-hmm. similar.
Yeah.
Their powers were the same, the, you know, the swords and guns, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But then, you know, while Slade Wilson is a very serious kind of character, after a while, they took Deadpool off into this goofy,
right,
wonderful direction.
Yeah.
Now my
deliriously meta.
Yeah, now my concern is that Joe Manganiello is actually he's decently funny. He's a pretty funny guy.
Right.
Especially if you've seen him in How I Met Your Mother. His stint as Brad is just wonderful.
Well, honestly, anytime he did like those small guest spots on a sitcom,
he was very funny.
Yeah.
Very funny.
Solid guest
star. So my worry is that he is going to put a little bit too much of a Deadpool on the Deathstroke.
That's not my worry, actually.
Hmm.
My worry is that he's still too young.
He's graying out, though. Have you seen him?
Oh, yeah, he's graying out. But
I think he's perfect for that, just starting to get old. I hope they throw the eye patch on him, that kind of thing.
Right.
I think he's actually pretty age-appropriate. I think, as far as look goes, his big beefiness and his square jaw is... General handsomeness is gonna fill out the suit fantastically.
Right. Oh, absolutely. To make your point, I think that worry would only is probably gonna be more apparent in people who don't know, you know, the whole behind the young people that don't actually read the comics. They just go to the movie and go, oh, this is totally Deadpool. They ripped it off. Like, they're totally gonna think that because he's coming after Deadpool that DC is ripping off Deadpool.
I'm hoping there will be enough people who, at the very least, have watched Arrow enough to say, this character. He's a thing, and that he actually came well before Deadpool.
Absolutely.
P.S. I do like the fact that they're sort of, with the choice of Joe Manganiello, sort of going off of that template that Manu Bennett gave us in season 2 of Arrow.
I thought was fantastic.
I thought he was great.
I want him back. I want more.
I do too, but now we know why we haven't seen him. It's because they were planning on putting Deathstroke in the DC movies, much like when they got rid of Deadshot, which was just too bad.
Yeah, because he was actually a pretty fun Deadshot.
He was a very fun Deadshot. That said, I still love Will Smith more. He was the Deadshot I never thought I wanted.
Deadshot and Deathstroke are very similar as well. I mean...
Whereas they both have a mask and an eye thing. Other than not really.
They're both assassins. They both...
Well, one's an assassin, one's more of a mercenary, and I know that's kind of splitting hairsy, but...
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. They kill for money. Can we agree on that? They both kill for money.
They both kill for money, but one does more than just kill for money.
Well,
like, that is actually a semantic difference between assassin and mercenary. Assassin, just gonna kill a guy. A mercenary, he'll pull a job.
I suppose, yeah.
Even if it's just an escort detail.
Right. That makes sense. Well played, Rob.
Man.
You made a smart comment.
Yeah, thank you. And then I went to a really weird place where Joe Manganiello's character from Magic Mike starts doing escort details.
Awesome.
Yes.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
Magic Mike 3, escort details.
He's a handsome man.
He's a right? beautifully handsome, like, perfectly fit for Magic Mike. No pun in... Well, I guess pun
and intended. And perfectly fit to finally be in a superhero movie where he's not just some high school douchebag.
Right?
Are we done with the...
Yeah.
So, I was going to ask about anybody Underworld fan, because there's a new Underworld.
There is a new Underworld.
Mm-hmm. Preview movie.
I did not watch the last one, so meh.
That was the third one with Kate Beckinsale, right?
Yes.
With the baby.
No, the fourth one.
Oh, I didn't.
Kate Beckinsale. The third one was a prequel to somebody else.
Yeah, The Rise of the Lycan. Ugh, horrible.
Never watched that. Yeah. I watched the first one. And I hated Scott Speedman. I watched the second one, and I reveled in the death of Scott Speedman's character. And then I was kind of done, because, like, the second one, it didn't confuse me. It just didn't...
Fit the story.
Entice you.
It didn't. Well, like, there were just times where I was like, this doesn't make any sense. Why is this even happening right now? Peace, I'm out.
Well, and the director...
Kate Beckinsale and leather is just not enough.
And the director's version it's a little bit makes a little bit more sense, but I agree with you.
Almost boobs, but then not quite boobs. But there are other boobs, but not the Kate Beckinsale boobs I wanted.
Yeah, stupid PG-13 movies.
Right,
we're classy as fuck over here.
Crystal loves boobs.
I do.
No, I know you love boobs. I enjoy having a guest on and just sitting back and going, "Wow, we're awful sometimes."
I'm absorbing slash.
Well, you listen to all of our episodes, so you already kind of know what to expect.
Right, right. Nice.
True.
So I mean,
it is kind of enjoyable to watch you eat it.
Now you're hearing the unedited version,
right?
I've already heard the unedited version before.
But speaking as somebody who plays a vampire on TV, how well were you into the Underworld movies?
What,
Lilith?
Oh, God damn it!
Wait, are we acting like I've already filmed?
You have filmed a little.
Okay.
But I'm just I'm just asking your opinion on Underworld.
Yes, yes.
I would like to clarify home movies segue. Don't count. Yes.
What was that?
I said I would like to clarify home movies don't count as already filming. So
he's a director. He had to audition.
No, that's fair. Casting couch. Well done.
I'm sorry. What was the question again?
Underworld. Did you like them?
I liked the first two, but of course the character that you hated, the attractive dark male, of course. Yeah.
He was not attractive.
He was goofy looking. He had a weird chin and stupid brows. And
he was a weird looking dude.
I'd have banged him.
The guy who played the leader of the Lycans, I thought was a better looking dude.
Yeah, and he's like a very
Skinny McStickerson? No.
Yeah,
he's a Shakespearean actor too, which is brilliant.
Martin Sheen? But not the same. No. Not the same one.
No. It's, yeah. Yes. I mean, yes. Not the same.
Martin
not the Hobbit.
Freeman. Not
no.
The Hobbit.
No.
Wow. No. Martin Sheen was in Apocalypse Now. Martin Freeman was the Hobbit, and this Martin is neither of those guys.
Correct. But he's a Shakespearean actor, and he's a
interesting.
Yeah.
You mean Michael Sheen?
Sure. Sure. That's his name.
Which is even funnier because then
I don't.
Is it
do...
the second one that has the the second one that has the brother, the redheaded guy? He is also a very big Shakespearean actor. And he always has these little bit parts in movies. He was in Blade 2.
I have never seen any of the Underworld
Michael
movies.
Michael Sheen, who, amusingly, was also a vampire in the Twilight series.
Yeah.
One of the leaders.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I tried to watch the first movie and couldn't.
The fifth one was pretty good because it was all
you couldn't
head
pay
ripping.
Me to go see those movies.
Twilight.
Boo. I think I saw the first one.
So you didn't?
I honestly don't remember.
First, so back to the Underworld question.
You
like
thought
them?
Scott Spima was attractive?
Huh.
Could you get
give me that over Skinny McStickerson?
Could you get past the first two movies?
No.
Yeah, well, like anybody can. Yeah. They're horrible. The Rise of the Lycans was stupid, and the fourth one was complete, utter, just, I don't
Bollocks.
Know what the fuck I was watching at point, and you're just like, what the, I don't get it.
I still haven't seen the last Resident Evil movie, but I think I'm gonna. Mm-mm. So I can watch, because this last one looks pretty good.
The new one coming out looks really good, but I feel you're going to be very disappointed.
I don't want the plot hole, though. I want to know. I know. But I'm weird like that. That's why I'll play games I don't even really like, just so I can get to like the good ones.
That's why I was just saying that. Like, I don't think you're going to miss much in the plot from not seeing that last one.
Yes, Rob.
No, if you have the chance to play Borderlands 2 before playing Borderlands, you play goddamn Borderlands 2.
I'm not talking about Borderlands. I'm talking about the games with an actual plot. Like, the first Mass Effect is terrible. It's a terrible game because the controls are god-awful. The storyline is wonderful, but it's a difficult game to play because the controls suck donkey dicks in hell. But Mass Effect 2 and Mass Effect 3 are glorious games, both play-wise and story-wise.
What?
I said, wow, I wish I could swear on YouTube.
You could. Right? You just might get demonetized.
Yeah.
Demonetized.
Demonetized.
Whatever.
Monetized.
I'm tired.
I think you can throw an occasional fuck or shit or blow me, but
no.
You just have to keep it
No. YouTube's thing right now.
Not anymore.
For those who are not aware, YouTube has recently changed their terms of service or their advertising guidelines.
Therefore, anybody who wants to monetize their videos basically put the advertisements on there and pray that 1 or 50,000 people will watch to get a couple pennies need to fit within certain regulations. And one of those regulations is no curse words.
I'm sorry. Yeah. I thought this was America.
Right.
And that's their big fight. Right. That's where the big YouTubers...
So I guess we really are going to have to beep out the lair and then host the uncensored versions on Big Binary.
If you want to monetize.
Good.
Yeah.
Bring in traffic. I love it.
Well, and I think it
fucks and shits and blowmies.
There's, but and I was kind of Philip DeFranco was following this, and he explained it pretty well.
He blew that conversation up too.
He absolutely did because of course it's the internet, so everybody takes things out of context. context.
There you go.
And he corrected himself in the second one, but he kind of said that, you know, it is a private company. It's not censorship. It is to YouTube as a company. And while he doesn't necessarily agree with it, he said his biggest problem was is that they were doing that to people without them knowing.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. They've been doing it for a long ass time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so
people who had established videos right. all of a sudden lost their income stream from those videos because the censors finally found the swear word and took off the monetization.
Right. Right. Yeah. Right. So it just and other people, and he's like, and you know, but there's other, he goes, some of his clients or some of his people that put ads on his stuff, they don't care. They're like, whatever, play what you want, say mm-hmm. what you want, do whatever you want, you know.
And he has a very similar advertising model to podcasts.
Yes,
like a lot of podcasts will, just like us, will shout out their advertiser in during the show in their podcast.
Brought to you by Mind's Eye Comics down in Egan.
Yeah. Get your comics and your collectibles there, folks.
All right.
Much like that, he puts a lot of his stuff
right
in the video. So right. he doesn't actually need YouTube. Also, no. He's owned by Discovery now, so.
Yeah, and he downright said, you know, he doesn't make, people just think he makes all his money off his YouTube stuff. And it's like, no,
he makes his money off his merch.
You know, lots of other things. But he was also talking about, but there are people that do rely on his money to.
They do. And same thing when it comes to any products that they are reviewing or companies that they're working with, you guys mention it, but it's required that we mention it in a video if it's found that we did use a product that was given to us for review and don't notate it somehow, whether it be said in the video and or in the description area.
Christ.
They could take it down too. There are quite a bit of restrictions within YouTube that until people get into it, they're not familiar with.
It's a really severe version of the FCC, and that is my big problem. And I would like to see someone point that out, because
it is a company. They can make their own rules. They don't have to be freedom of speech, nothing. It's, mm-hmm. It is a company.
You're absolutely right about that.
I mean, I understand what you're saying, but
yeah.
And I don't agree with it, but
there's just one problem with that. They have no original content.
No, they don't.
It's all brought to you by the people.
Yep.
Yeah.
Now they're coming into YouTube Red, and that is original content, but they're starting to make you pay for it as well.
If they want to censor YouTube Red, then let them censor YouTube Red, but the rest of it is brought to you by the people.
Has this
PBS up on that shit?
Has this always been the way YouTube is? Because before, YouTube was just, hey, this is a website, go post.
It was
before Google bought it out.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah,
that's what I
pre-Google. Thought.
Before that, it was all fucks and shits and blow me's.
Right, and yeah. I think you can still say it, but it's just
blow me's. I enjoy that so much.
So pretty much you can still say it, it's just you're not going to get any money.
Yeah, they're not going to take down your video necessarily, but you won't gain any profit potentially from it. You will have to either redirect or choose other videos to try and get income from.
Right. Yeah. Well, either way. Limo. People need to make money, bitches.
Yeah, and
please follow, rate, and subscribe me.
Yay.
DigitalVellum.com.
Please be sure to do that.
Yes. The other thing we wanted to start, Kevin, you wanted to start something called the nerdy...
It's the grab of the week.
Right, yeah.
So, the nerdy grab of the week.
Yes, the nerdy grab of the week. So
explain to us what this concept is, this segment, if you will.
This segment is going to be where each of us is going to tell you folks about a thing that we were able to pick up that we're excited about and talk about it for a second. And it's based off of actually when you brought in that that controller, your Steam, Steam controller. And I realized I really liked that and I want to do more of it. So.
Okay.
You like that, the Steam controller? Oh, never mind.
Talking about a cool thing.
Yeah,
I
realized that I had to answer my own question. I'm really
all right, Kevin. Show and tell. Tell us.
About a week and a half ago, I was at Half Price Books, and I was perusing their comic book section as I'm one to do, and I found the entire 13-part comic book series of Earth X by Marvel.
What?
Really? Okay.
For $1 a piece.
Wow.
And so I grabbed every single one of those sons of bitches.
Our Half Price Books is awesome.
Now, for those who don't know, Earth X is basically the Marvel's answer to Kingdom Come. Alex Ross did art,
yes.
And it's
yes.
Did Alex Ross do art for Earth X or Kingdom Come?
Kingdom Come originally, and Earth X now.
Oh wow!
Yeah,
okay.
like the you know those very. iconic pictures of Superman looking a little old and Batman looking gruff and so Earth X, it's all Alex Ross, and it basically revolves around a very old and grizzled Captain America. And it's a bit of a mature story, and you know, new mutants and new heroes, and then the world going to crap in a handbasket, and I think there's a werewolf.
A random werewolf.
But no, it's
and as
it's
a fan of werewolves, I approve.
But no, it's a very good series, and I haven't read it in years and years and years, and I'm finding myself very excited going through it again. So
nice.
So I'm very proud of that nerdy grab of the week.
There you go.
That's good.
Found a awesome. Well, this was a funny coincidence. So I was similar story to Half Price Books. I was there and I was looking through the record section, and I found a Maynard
nerd.
Yeah, I found a Maynard Ferguson record, one of his great ones. And I'm blanking on the title right now. But so, anyways, and not like a big deal. I bought it for like $3. It's a great album. You know, it's probably worth $3, whatever. But inside of it is like a Michael Jackson record as well. Like his random record in there.
Free Michael Jackson record.
Right?
Wait. Which Michael Jackson record?
I'd have to go grab the thing. It might even actually be Jackson 5.
We'll wait.
Ooh, he's going to have to jump over you.
We'll wait.
So Chris will tell yours.
My nerdy grab of the week happens to go with Half Price Books as well. Yay! And, of course, it's a book because that's what I do.
It's a book.
So it's called Shatter Me. And it's by Tahira Mathi. But anyways, it is a story about a dystopian future where the girl actually has mutant powers that with her touch will kill someone.
What?
So I am interested in seeing how this turns out. A number of BookTubers that I follow have really, really enjoyed it. And my BookTube friends, I told them that I picked it up and they squeed for joy. So kind I'm excited
a,
to start it.
Kind of a Typhoid Mary thing going on. I like it.
Michael Jackson Off the Wall.
Oh, nice.
Not bad.
It's not a bad grab at all. Yeah. Is it in good condition? That's a...
Yeah. It's playable. Oh, I just need a record player now.
Well, yeah.
But, you know, it's Michael Jackson Off the Wall.
Buying records without a record player. Classic Nick.
Is that the full album or is that? Oh yeah, it's the full album. Okay, nice. So are records supposed to be handled much like CDs? I didn't actually know this.
Prevents scratches.
Does it?
I mean, you can hold them. You can grab them. But
it's melted plastic.
Yeah, that's my thought.
Laser etched. It's melted plastic, but
I was gonna say
we're just so used to it.
They're fragile.
Okay.
Holding the edges.
Must be Italian.
Don't stop till you get enough.
Right.
By the way, I'm pretty sure that's the only single off of this album. Oh, no, wait. No, I'm sorry. Rock With You is on
the album. They got With You. Girlfriend with McCartney. That one went pretty big.
Oh, yeah. That one was good.
I love the video of her with the laser behind him. Bitching.
With the laser.
Laser. I'm nice. Sorry. Rob, did you have a nerdy grab of the week?
I really don't.
I didn't pick
anything up this week, so.
My actual nerdy grab of the week was actually my loot crate. And nice. That was the Sterling Archer for President.
Ah, very jealous t-shirt. Of that shirt.
And there's a nice little Harley Quinn vinyl figure. Pop, yeah.
Oh, me, I love Harley Quinn.
Loot Crate's awesome, but it's expensive. So if Loot Crate wants to sponsor us and give us free shit, that'd be awesome.
Hey. Rob would like a free Loot Crate every month.
Kevin would love a free Loot Crate.
You've seen the one with Alan Tudyk when he's talking about the Firefly one?
Oh, that's actually not Loot Crate.
I know, but it's a similar...
Yeah, it's a similar it's a similar geek box thing, yeah.
Yeah.
But it's very funny to watch, and it's very Alan Tudyk-y. I was just watching Dodgeball, too.
I found out that since Pokemon Go came out, cards, the Pokemon cards that I bequeathed to my kind... I had to say that as weirdly as possible.
Yeah, you did.
I basically gave him a college tuition with what they're worth right now, which is awesome, but I know they'll never get
apparently
sold.
Apparently Beanie Babies were coming back, too.
That sounds awful.
I saw that. That was super weird.
That sounds awful.
That's... No.
Like, the Princess Diana Bear is selling for, like, 40 grand or some crazy shit.
No.
I'm like, there was, like, how could you sell for 40 grand? Everybody kept those damn things. Maybe. I don't know. I'm sure my mom... I know my mom kept hers. I don't know if she has a Princess Diana one, but she's got a lot of them.
I did not keep mine.
I have, like...
I think I have, like, one or two hanging around somewhere.
I have, like, a salamander. I don't know why I have that one.
My mom refused to buy me dolls when I was a child that I could play with.
I get that.
I had a Cabbage Patch.
And a Care Bear.
I still have mint in box Barbies because she wouldn't let me play with them.
Although I had my Cabbage Patch Kid's name was Bartholomew, and I always called him Barth because I was too young of a kid to realize you could just call him Bart.
Name Barf. Full name Bartholomew.
Thank you.
Oh, here's a good one though. It's not my nerdy grab of the week, but I did get Bernadette to watch, as part of her nerdy education, I got her to watch a movie.
Which one?
Blazing Saddles.
Awesome.
Good for you.
Right?
Awesome.
Also, thank you very much to Nerd Geek Sean for borrowing me that DVD.
Lending. He lent it to you.
Lending, yes. Whatever.
Yeah, Gene, we didn't really talk about it, but yeah, Gene Wilder passed.
No, we haven't talked. Oh my God, has it been...
Really? You guys didn't talk about it?
We haven't.
No.
What?
A lot of weird things.
Wow.
Well, I mean, because I mean, it didn't. It happened after our last broadcast.
Yeah, podcast.
So
I think it's almost like the next day.
Rest in peace, you comedic
genius,
yeah. And just wonderful the shaper of our lives.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think
not a single one of us at this table can say that they weren't affected by Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory.
Absolutely. You will always be my Wonka.
Fucking Oompa Loompa scared the shit out of me.
Fuck you. It was the boat ride.
No, the boat ride.
Fuck that boat ride.
I was okay with the boat ride.
I still can't watch the boat ride in its entirety.
I was afraid of the chocolate tube.
That's a little terrifying, too.
Is it because you're German?
No, it's because I'm fat. I ruined the joke for everybody.
Right? Fuck.
Yeah.
You made it too real, too close to home. Yeah, no, Willy Wonka. Actually, there's a casino game. It's my absolute favorite casino game because the little Oompa Loompas come out and give you free spins and give you all sorts of free shit and give you lots of money, and it's awesome. Sorry. It's a slot game.
So here's,
what just happened?
Right? So here's a problem. Is that, you know, in some of the Gene Wilder stuff, they showed some shots of Mel Brooks, and I realized that he is...
No. Shut the hell up. You shut your goddamn mouth.
No, he needs to make Spaceballs, too.
He does. I'm worried about both him and Stan Lee, and they...
Stan Lee, yeah.
They both had such an influence on my life.
We will not talk about this again until 2017. You shut the hell up. 2016 has been too hurtful.
I know. Just with the way this year is going, I'm terrified. We need to form a protective circle around both of them.
Wrap them in bubble wrap.
Right.
Damn, Mel Brooks is 90 years old.
He is 90, yeah.
Wow.
He's 90 years old. And apparently still working and doing something every single day.
Yeah, absolutely.
Apparently he works every single day. He goes into the office. He comes home at like 6, goes and hangs out with his kid and his grandson for hours. Will fall asleep in front of the... I was just listening to Max Brooks doing a podcast on The Nerdist.
Hmm.
And apparently he will go and sit in front of the TV with the kid for a couple hours, fall asleep, wake up and go... Paw Patrol. I had that idea back in 1964. Fall back asleep.
That's awesome.
And wake up again. Go over to Carl Reiner's house, who, by the way, is also still alive.
Yeah.
And they will sit there and watch movies and bicker like an old couple until 3 a.m. And he'll go to sleep.
So did
I want to be part of that life.
I know, right?
I want to tag along on every single second of that.
Yeah. So on the serious side, though, with Gene Wilder, did you guys realize that he had Alzheimer's?
No, actually, he kept it pretty quiet.
He did.
Yeah, so, I didn't learn about that until after his death.
Yeah.
And that's how he wanted it. But I thought the reason why he kept it hidden was actually really commendable. He wanted, when he was recognized in society, that they looked at him and thought Willy Wonka. He thought our favorite characters, and did not all of a sudden see the illness, then making people feel bad for him because he couldn't remember. So I thought that was a good reason, not just trying to be like, no, I don't want anybody to, I don't know.
Wow, that is incredibly commendable. Mm-hmm. I really like that. That said, I will temper that very beautiful, sentimental statement with, that's what was said after he died. Maybe he just didn't want to tell people. He was an incredibly private person. He did not do really, he rarely did a press interview after 1991.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he just didn't want to tell people. I mean, that's great sentiment. But only he could have told us that, and... Not to be crass, but I think he's the only one who could have told us that 3 years ago when he was diagnosed.
Well, his family could have.
Yes, but how much of that is sentimentalized? I guess I'm being a cynic.
But at the, same time, if he said something 3 years ago, it wouldn't be keeping it under wraps now, would it?
No, it wouldn't. And that's the catch 22 on that.
Not really. It just sort of gives proof to the point.
Not if you're a cynic.
Even if you're a cynic, that's not opinion. That's kind of fact.
No.
Anyway,
I'm blocking you on Facebook now. I disagree with your opinion. I'm blocking you on Facebook.
Oh, triggered. Okay. Way to be a millennial.
Triggered.
Okay.
Well, I was going to say on the same note, Doc Severinsen, for those who don't know, trumpet player, played in John Carson.
Oh yeah.
He's 90.
Still kicking, isn't he?
Yes, he plays every year with the Minnesota Orchestra.
That's what I thought.
He does a Christmas show.
Yeah, he does Christmas pops with Doc. Yeah,
he gets up there. And he, being 90 years old, looks like he's a spry 65. I don't know. But he's still moving around. He's still playing trumpet. He's still conducting. He's still, you know, for being 90 years old, you're like, God, that man is just moving.
How old is this blow pop?
At least 18.
I can't get the gum at it. It's like rock hard.
Maybe not quite. Maybe you turned it on too much by licking it.
Not what you expected, but still just as fun.
Hey, that should be nice. A slogan.
Oh yeah, someone should put that on a t-shirt or something.
We're going to
making it in women's sizes.
Oh,
we're
there have been some complaints.
you mean a complaint? Actually,
I wanted to make it sound like we were more popular than we were. You dick.
No, we're actually going to do something different. I enjoy that.
Nick boiled all women down to one complaint.
Right,
that was nice. Well done. That and the comment earlier. I mean, you just
I figured if she was a fetish, she was speaking for all women anyway. So,
Joanna also.
Yeah, I was gonna say Joanna also complained.
Okay, sorry. I didn't fucking know. So, anyways, let me before y'all get on my shit.
Triggered.
You're all up on my Kool-Aid. Don't even know the fucking flavor yet.
Hashtag.
It's probably grape.
Raspberry. Anyways.
Remember Mountain Blue?
So I have another remedy. Yes, I do. It was horrible. I never liked it. The remedy is I have a vendor that's local who I've gotten other things from, and they're wonderful and they're great. And I made a deal with them that we can buy t-shirts from them, any size, any shape, any color text, any color shirt that you want.
I would like my shirt in triangle shape.
You could do it. You could have it on a sweatshirt. You could have it on long sleeve, short sleeve, tank top, whatever the fuck you want. They will make it. And we will not make quite the profit off of them, but we'll still make a little bit of a profit. Be $20, and then if... So anyways, regardless, we have t-shirts now that you can get in all sizes and all shapes. If you want it on a tank top, if you want it on a whatever, I sent her all the stuff to put it to give me a proof with our new slogan, the...
Not what you expected, but still just as fun.
Still just as fun. And also have the QR code on it so you can link right to our Facebook.
Nice.
And they are, like I said, $20 for a t-shirt.
There's no roof.
If you want something else...
There's no cabbage.
I don't know what the cost will be, but I'm sure
there's no lawn.
They'll work out a deal. So, that's the remedy to
there
the problem.
There is no cereal.
So, does
no
that make everybody happy?
I suppose.
I wonder how many people listening to this are going to get what I'm talking about.
Not zero. Zero people.
Kevin, so moving...
Half our audience is sitting right here. So.
Yeah.
Well, the other half is Graham, so we have to mention him. So.
Yeah, a few others. Yeah.
Megan said she started listening to her.
Oh, nice.
But other cool things that have come about in comic book news, one Mr. Sean Beveridge brought to my attention.
Oh, really?
Is that that there are actually two new Iron Man comic series coming out. There's, of course, what everybody knows, which is Ironheart, little Riri, a 15-year-old MIT student taking over the mantle. Which apparently Rob does not like, and I think is really cool. But
No,
I'm not done. You shut up.
Okay.
And then the other one is the new series Infamous Iron Man, where Marvel finally took my advice that I've been squawking at them about for years. I don't know if they actually got my letters or not, but finally Doctor Doom will be in Iron Man armor. It's what I've been telling them they should be doing in the movies this entire time for a good Doctor Doom. Give him Stark tech. So, Iron Man will now be under Victor Von Doom's control, and I think that the series is called Infamous Iron Man, and they've given us very little details of what it's going to be about.
And it's,
but they're making it sound like he's going to be doing Yeah, they're making it sound like he's going to be doing heroic things, but kind of a dick about it, which is exactly 100% how much I want.
So yeah. Dr. Doom has his own Iron Man armor?
Yes.
Or he controls Tony Stark as Iron Man?
No, he has his own Iron Man armor.
Okay.
Tony Stark is retiring. He's giving the mantle to Riri.
All right, so here's what I have about this new comic, Ironheart, and I will not use her name because...
It's what Kevin Smith uses in his cartoon to talk about a person of with a mental disorder?
Yes, and Marvel marketing kind of maybe flubbed that a little. I don't know who thought that was a good idea, but...
Because that's what people also call Rihanna.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. She's Riri.
Yep. She's Riri.
I always thought so, but I mean...
And I think they're trying to take it back and make it a cute thing.
Okay.
Are they taking it back?
I feel like that's...
Are they taking...
Jesus Christ, Nick.
I feel like that's a little bit of a blunder.
I first heard that, I was like...
Yeah. Right?
What genius thought this one?
Someone thought that was a good idea, and I'm a little worried because there's going to be several people going, that's not okay. So, I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. And I hope I'm wrong, because aside from that unfortunate name... The concept sounds amazing.
Yeah, I love it.
I love the idea. That sounds great. Also, we need thousands more characters like that.
Definitely.
We keep getting better and better at it. Miles Morales was, in my opinion, one of the best
I mean, back in the old days, there were a lot of young superheroes. I mean, Spider-Man started as 15, and we just haven't had that lately. They've all been, like, take all of the Marvel movies, with the exception of this new Spider-Man.
They're all
ancient.
They're all older adults, yeah.
The youngest one, I believe, is Black Widow and Captain America.
Captain America is like 96.
I mean, the actors portraying them.
No, I know.
Wow.
Their mid to late 20s.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I believe Chris Evans is in his 30s already.
Oh, maybe.
He is.
And Scarlett Johansson.
But when he started, I think he was like 28.
Scarlett Johansson was born in 84. Because the birthday she gives in... to the computer in that second Captain America movie, Winter Soldier, is actually her birthday year.
Oh.
Or he says, you were born in 1984. That was accurate. She was actually born in 84.
Okay.
You are welcome.
Well, then when she started in Iron Man, she still would have been in her 20s.
Yes, correct. I was validating your statement. Mm-hmm. I almost said validifying.
Side note, so the rest of us are eating our mics except for Kevin, who's all the way back here. So do you have his up higher then?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. Just curious.
And then when I put it, because I always tell him to eat the mic.
And he never does.
And he doesn't. He does sometimes. He gets close. But then when you put it through the levelator and the way that I have the mic set up, it sounds the way it does.
Okay. I wasn't sure.
Yeah, it's typical Kevin. He's a little farther away than normal, but he's also...
Because I'm eating, I don't...
And I appreciate that because I hate that noise.
Yeah.
That Rob does.
That I do all the time, and I am aware of that, so I've tried to make a conscious effort not to do anymore.
You've also made a conscious effort not to say my favorite key phrase for you.
Oh, that's delightful.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know which one it is.
Neat.
Anyways.
Both. But neat or delightful? Both. Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but you stopped saying neat.
Did I?
Yes.
Yeah.
I didn't know I did that.
Man.
Neat.
I love you.
And that's delightful.
Yeah, right. Now I hate you again.
Yay!
Why are you stealing my stuff?
Kevin, you had a list you wanted to talk about.
Yeah.
Yes. So, on the interwebs,
mythical interwebs you speak of?
Right. It's a little black box with a red button on it.
The hell you say.
The howl you said?
The hell you said.
For all you IT crowd nerds.
The howl?
So there is a list I read on Screen Rant that is 15 things in the original trilogy that don't make any sense.
Solid journalistic choice. Moving on.
So the first one I thought was their best point, and something I honestly can't believe I didn't think of until now, and that's the first one is Luke forgets the Force in Return of the Jedi. And that's when they're captured in that net that the Ewoks... created.
Yeah.
And Luke goes, Han, can you reach my lightsaber? Why the fuck don't you just float into your hand, you retard?
Maybe he can't disconnect it from the belt.
Yeah, that might be the answer.
Because now it's a clip and not like Yoda's was like, you know, the old school ones were like a disc and a thing, like the old cell phone holders. But his is like an actual clip.
There's maybe, also, there's but also I'm an stretching issue it. Of if he's sort of like situated the wrong way, you can't really. I mean, maybe. Force powers is going to be able to, you know.
I
want to
hear all.
Of,
I want to hear as much mansplaining on this as possible.
I'm just sitting back and enjoying it.
I'm enjoying myself too. Wait,
I would like to validate George Lucas's choice. Oh, I couldn't get through it without laughing. I'm sorry.
And obviously this isn't. These are things that don't hurt the films as a whole. In there,
right? Of course,
they're just things that make you go, huh? It doesn't seem like it's really clipped. It just seems like it's on his side in the little cover text system. It seemed like Yoda didn't have any goddamn problems.
No, because it's a different system, different clipping system.
Is it?
Yes.
Is it?
Yes. Look at the replicas of the, and they have the little. There's a like a metal. I think it's triangular or more round. I don't remember, but it's like a metal thing that he clips in. So like it clips into a clip, like a key holder clip type thing.
So take a look at that.
Mm-hmm.
The second one is Luke slips past a blockade and the Empire Strikes Back, and that's a good one. While everyone is getting past the blockade. And then Luke and Han both leave, and they're fine. But then Luke goes off in a direction. Han tries to, but they get caught by the Empire. Where the fuck did Luke?
Well, that's a problem in a lot of space movies. They forget the third dimension. Like, a lot of lines are... it's like, all of a sudden, everything's in a line. Well, actually, it would be circular.
Something that's always bothered me about sci-fi is that everything seems to be across. Nothing is ever up or down.
No, which is why they make Star Trek movie... where Riker does the Riker maneuver and he comes up from below or whatever. He talks about the Y-axis and they kind of made a joke about it because everybody forgets about it.
Kingdom Hearts did.
Sorry, the
but
Z-axis.
I mean, and they even talk about that in that it's, you know, one of two things are possible. Either the Empire is not as nearly as all-powerful as it may seem, or the blockade has already dissipated. The first is true. It severely weakens the sense of loss you're meant to feel when the Hoth base is destroyed. If it's the latter, the blockade disappeared at a rather rapid pace. And so, you know, they're supposed to have this entire planetary blockade,
mm-hmm.
but really all you see is that one side. It doesn't make much sense.
Perhaps also maybe when they say blockade, it's like they know where the Rebel base is, so let's like say you had a bunch of spaceships out in circling Earth and you knew that everybody was in Minnesota. They can only leave so many directions from Minnesota with you seeing them.
Unless you just skitter across the land in your old ship and then go off
past
Russia.
But that takes way longer. I'm with you. I'm still a pretty
fast ship. Anyway, the third one is something that the Family Guy already brought up, and that was, you know, why the fuck didn't they blow up that escape pod that R2-D2 and C-3PO were in anyway?
Why,
just for shits and giggles?
Yeah, so we don't have to talk on that one because it's been brought up.
This
one is actually kind of amusing. Star Wars. Right.
Because then there's no fucking
movie. Because then that series is like,
and now we've got a new movie. Dystopian Star Wars.
So the next one is actually a very good point. The Star Wars doesn't have any kind of email.
Yeah.
Like, how much easier would this shit have been if Princess Leia just sent it as a file attachment? This is an advanced culture, and we are not nearly as advanced as them, and we have ways to electronically send information out the wazoo.
Right, but we hadn't thought of the concept of email either.
And our, I know, but that's the that
like that's
the one thing is maybe they're monitored systems. Like the internet could be monitored. Like,
yeah, but I mean, there's always
Empire is in control of everything, they control the what's being sent, and it's going to get hacked and intercepted.
You know, there's always encrypted, you know, emails and information. You know, the Organa could have just sent, here's the plans for the Death Star. LOL, JK, winky face.
Yeah, but if she did that, what I'm saying is that even if it's encrypted, maybe the encrypted message from her to a certain person would give away you're leaving a trail this way.
We are anonymous.
There are always ways.
I'm well.
I would like to also point out that the hyperdrive would never actually work the way it does in the movies. So
that's one thing that bugs me. Speaking of that real quick, it's one thing that bugs me about space movies is that they always have their jets on.
Their version of faster than light travel.
Well, they have all that, but that doesn't bother me, but they always have their engines on. In space, you wouldn't need to leave your engine all the time. You just need one push to go and one push to stop.
Yeah.
You would not need it on all the time. Anyways, continue.
There's also a
science
question of how you would start or restart that. So that actually makes sense that the engines are always on. In space, maybe. That would be incredibly
difficult. We already do that in space, though, when they, moon landing and stuff like that, they have no problem. They don't have their jets on all the time. They would have no fuel.
No, that's true, but it's still one of those things. it's still incredibly dangerous to do it in space. The fact that we haven't that yes, I am.
Hi, sorry.
Continue, Kevin.
The next one is Boba Fett showing up at Cloud City before Han and Leia, despite following them.
Maybe they made a
He took a shortcut, I guess. And well, no, because this one is actually one I think is pretty easily explained. I really think it's, you know, Han and Leia got there first. I mean, there are really only two explanations. Either Han and Leia got there first, and then the Empire got there shortly after, because we never saw how much time they were there.
Right.
They could have been in Cloud City a while.
That's true. I mean, there's a good assumption.
Leia had enough time to shower and pep, you know, and pepper herself up and completely redo her hair, which would have taken hours.
Hmm.
Or, more likely, the Empire did, in fact, get there right before they did. Boba Fett just, you know, made a call.
And that was my second point, if you hadn't interrupted me, is that Boba Fett was able to actually, you know, hack the Millennium Falcon's mainframe, or so to speak, figure out where they're going, and say, pilot to Bombardier, pilot to Bombardier, that kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Or another thought, too, would be that when they were being... I always thought as a kid, and even now as an adult, before you brought that point up, is I always thought the reason that they were being delayed to land was because the Empire, like either Boba Fett... I mean, obviously they entered the atmosphere at the same time, or close to the same time. If Lando's already doing deals with the Empire and Boba Fett messages them beforehand and says, oh, I know where we are, before they even get to Cloud City, and he messages them and say, don't let them land until I land first.
But, I mean, if he's right behind Han, how shitty are the is the radar tracking system on the Millennium Falcon then?
It could just be pilot error, like, oh, shit, because I didn't think anybody would follow me because I'm too clever.
I mean, the navigation might be just absolutely shoddy, but it'll make 0.5 past light speed. So
I always thought...
Well, 0.5.
Right.
But I always thought that, anyways, that they were being delayed because they were trying to...
It's the line from the movie.
I know. It's just that's not...
That makes no sense,
mighty. It's not as fast as they make it seem.
Right.
As far as relativity goes.
Right.
Yes.
But my point was is that they were delaying them to clear any Imperial ships that were there.
Anyway, continue. Certainly, thanks. So the next one is, and this one's a super good point. The Emperor sets a bad trap in Return of the Jedi. His plan is a really shitty plan.
Yeah. Yes.
Why would he give them the real plans? Why? If he was letting this thing happen, why not give them fake ass ones? Instead of like, oh no, I have enough cotton. We'll be fine. We can give them the real ones. It'll be okay. Hubris.
Sure. I mean,
yeah. Or he's just denying. He's just trying to entrap Luke and saying, oh yeah, we already knew about this. Like,
yeah.
He's just playing coy.
You give them the real plans, that way they show up to the Death Star, because the Death Star would have to be shielded.
But
the Death Star's already fully operational, so... I mean, they probably got that shit up and running minutes before they got there.
Or, like, with any plans, there's multiple copies, and they got an old copy, and maybe they didn't get the updated version.
So this one, I thought, was kind of hilarious.
Okay.
So Luke hatches a terrible rescue plot in Return of the Jedi.
Yes.
Let's be honest. You don't understand Luke's plan to rescue Han, and neither do we. Return of the Jedi starts with C-3PO and R2-D2 making their way towards Jabba's palace, where Han is currently being kept in his frozen form. Whatever the plan may be, C-3PO is clearly oblivious. So they got they have Lando there already. Leia shows up in her little thing, and the whole time Luke is just like, fuck it, who cares? Everybody gets there. Leia gets changed to everyone's favorite outfit. And then when Luke arrives for peace talks, he's quickly, you know, forced into battle. And all the while, he's kind of giving you the hint of, oh, this is all part of the plan. Why, though? Why didn't he just show up with a lightsaber and be like, oh, fuck you? It makes no sense.
It just seemed
like everybody who was there for absolutely no reason.
Yeah, maybe it wasn't Luke's plan. Maybe it was Leia's plan, and Luke just said,
that is a good point.
Yeah, and that's the other point it makes is that
also
it's entirely possible
to come up with that shitty plan, Nick. Really?
Their point, stab
you in the neck.
Their point was is that it's also entirely possible that everybody had their own goddamn plan and that they're really terrible at coordinating.
That was what I was going to say, but I wanted to take a moment for the quick dig on Nick.
Yeah, I get that.
Shocking.
Now, this one brings a little bit of science into the mix, and I have a couple thoughts on this one, and that's that the Death Star chooses to spare Yavin in Star Wars. Hmm. The Death Star has to go around Yavin to get to the small moon, and Yavin is a gas giant similar to Jupiter.
Right.
Why not just blow up Yavin?
Why not just be like, get the fuck out of my way. Hey, what's up, guys?
Maybe it's much bigger and the...
Now, my thought is that when trying to blow up a gas giant, that might not have worked out so well for the Death Star. That's my scientific hoopty-hoo.
Some serious blowback.
And maybe they're...
Then there's an orbit issue and...
Maybe they're trying to sneak up on them.
Could they have been far enough away to have enough power in the can to blow up Yavin while escaping their own fate? And then it would have just blown up the moon.
Right. Perhaps they needed Yavin's gravity to... Slingshot them around to point them at the right direction. Because it's a big fucking thing, and to turn it.
Yeah.
They're like, okay, we got the general direction. Now we're going to use our gravity to sling us a little bit. And... All
right. Continuing.
Yeah. So the next one is the confusing timeline in The Empire Strikes Back. And this one is a little bit similar to the Boba Fett one. And that's when when Empire Strikes Back begins, Luke has had minimal training as a Jedi. And so he goes to Dagobah. Han and Leia go to Cloud City, and while it seems like maybe a few days have passed on Cloud City, it almost appears as though a couple months have on Dagobah.
Yeah.
So the timing doesn't really work out.
Oh, I have an answer for that.
And there have been a lot of theories and stuff, but yeah.
My theory is that Dagobah is...
Closer?
Dagobah is to Cloud City as Mars is to Earth, or Jupiter is to Earth. They have a longer year. And therefore, they their times, and I think Mars time, a day on Mars is like, what, 34 hours or something? 31 hours?
But when I say days and months, I'm saying of a similar span of time.
Right, I gotcha.
So
the idea of a month on Dagobah is really just a day on Cloud City.
I'm not talking about the orbital days and months. I'm just talking about, like... The linear. Time I'm talking of a linear of Earth's time.
Yeah, and that's what I mean.
They get there at the same. No, you're talking about two different things. I get what you're both saying.
No, closer to. But if you get closer to the galactic center, that time moves faster than slower. I don't remember which one.
But that's
it is,
that's all within relativity, and I understand what you're saying. But what Kevin is saying is that
moves faster.
I understand that. That's relativity. You're explaining Einstein's relativity.
Okay.
You are.
Am I? All right.
Yes, you are.
Without knowing it.
You and I leave Minneapolis at the same time. You go to Los Angeles. I go to New York. It seems like you were in Los Angeles for a few hours, where it seems like I was in New York for a few weeks.
I'm putting it all into Earth time.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
so it seems, and that's what I was trying to convey to you. It seems like a perfect example. If Hoth is Minneapolis and Cloud City is L.A. and and Dagobah is
Georgia.
I was gonna say Louisiana. Doctor. So
fair enough.
It seemed like the Han and Leia had a 3-day vacation in Los Angeles, whereas Luke was busting his ass
in the bayou for
3 months, punching alligators in the dick.
But they were also stuck. They were also in that. They were also in the astral field for a little while, and they were dodging the Empire.
But that still seemed like it was a few hours.
I'm with you.
Yeah.
How long do they need to be in the creature's mouth before he would finally decide to eat?
My thought has been is just not that Dagobah was shitloads closer than Cloud City.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because we don't know how long they were traveling, and they always kind of make it seem like, everywhere is a couple bus stations away from each other. Whereas, they could have been traveling to Cloud City for a few weeks where
Luke was
Luke could have gotten to Dagobah in a day or two. So.
Yeah, Luke was using his hyperdrive, and the Millennium Falcon couldn't because it was broke.
Oh, no, that's a good point, yeah.
Which I believe actually comes to the next one, which is, why the fuck did Vader only disable the hyperdrive in The Empire Strikes Back?
Unlike the weapons and just the general weapons or navigational system?
Or just the
shields.
Couldn't he just go and break something, and then it would have been much easier to detain them?
He did the... I was doing this because he did the visual thing again.
Oh,
and this is a podcast of trying to do the force choke, but as in...
I made a noise. So why didn't he just break something? to make it impossible to take off. They would have been much easier to detain than just the hyperdrive and be like, oh, we'll get them over there instead of here.
I actually can explain that.
I don't really think there is on this one. I think that was just a glaring plot hole.
So I will explain it using a different TV show that you've also never seen. I don't know if you've watched The West Wing, actually.
I hate it.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. That's too bad. Anyways, in season three, there's an episode in which they choose to assassinate a foreign government official. And so they're talking about it with their chief advisors, and one of the guys from the CIA comes up and goes, Mr. President, could you give this guy this pen? I mean, we're going to assassinate him anyways, and he'll probably just throw the pen in the trash. But it's also a recorder. Maybe we get lucky, he puts it in his pocket, and we get some new information. That's what I think happened. They turned off the hyperdrive to see if maybe they might get lucky, and they go back to the new rebel base and game over for the rebels. That's my thought.
My thought is they wanted to make it look like they could get away. The hyperdrive was an easy thing to disable. If they crushed something, then Han would have been like, shit, this isn't working. And I have another thought that Chewie and Han have disassembled, reassembled, put in all sorts of fail safes within that thing to make it work. So if somebody did try to fuck with it, that
the most innocuous kind of thing they can break on there.
Kind of like the car in Mad Max Road Warrior. You know, he's got a special set of things that he has to do to turn it on. Same way with the Millennium Falcon, except way more.
And the TARDIS.
I don't know, just a thought. But I agree with you. Yeah, probably more just realistically just glaring plot.
Crystal, shut up.
I'm playing Pokemon.
So the next one.
Yeah.
Leia leads the Empire to Yavin 4 in Star Wars. It would have been much safer for Leia to ditch Han and Luke after escaping the Death Star.
Yes.
Especially since they had established that that they knew it was being tracked.
Hmm.
She even says that the Empire let them escape.
Yeah.
But then she just goes with them to the Rebel base anyway. And that seems like a very stupid
poor
move.
Choice.
Poor choice.
Worst choice of all.
I'll give you that one.
Yeah, so
it's just bad writing.
Leia's spontaneous memory of her mother in Return of the Jedi. Her moment of clarity of remembering Padme.
But was she talking about Padme, or was she talking about what she thought was her adopted mother?
Luke says, your real mother.
Oh, yeah.
And so they established the fact that she knows that she's adopted.
Interesting.
I don't know. I guess when I've always heard it, I was just heard Luke
and then,
say...
So between that and her later saying, somehow I've always known when they talk about being brother and sister, it means that she's got all sorts of stuff going on.
Well, she's probably seen visions, maybe.
But I mean, just the Force. Her and the Luke and then the...
Please tell me that's not what it looks like.
I hope it does.
Exactly,
it would be hilarious.
Like. It's exactly what
no,
it looks like.
No, I was
like.
Talking about kissing Kevin.
Yeah, it's exactly what it looks like.
Who's scruffy looking?
I'm sorry, I've been throwing so much shade at Nick today.
You decided to make me feel better by throwing it at Kevin.
Yeah, just a little. Don't worry, we'll get back to you.
I'm sure you will.
Next. The Emperor suddenly knows about Luke and Leia, and the Empire Strikes Back.
I think he's always known.
This is one of the ones I actually feel like he's always just kind of known that they've been around. But if he did, why didn't he squash that much earlier? Why would he wait for Luke to grow up and become a threat instead of just saying, oh, hey, look at that kid.
Maybe because they were so separated from it and didn't think, since Uncle Owen was being a dick about, we'll join the Empire next year. And then maybe he thought he was going to go actually join the Empire.
Well, I mean, in all of the now official canon stuff that's taking place between 3 and 4,
yeah,
you know, it really seems like they're going above and beyond to destroy every loose Jedi there was. There's literally no reason for him to not have, if he knew about Luke and Leia and knew that Obi-Wan was on Tatooine, to just send a boom tube to just pop.
Right, and that's with all the new stuff.
You've kicked over the ant hill. What's two escaping ants? You've won. Who cares?
Who's going
to
teach
Not
him?
To mention, he was just a farm boy.
Yeah,
but that didn't show anything.
But he also knows that this is the child of his apprentice. And he's heard about the prophecy, and he knows that this
doesn't
child
mean that
is
they're actually
to,
going to.
Yeah, they could
show.
End up to mix genre to
he
mix
was,
franchises
he
here.
Betting,
they could just end up muggles.
He bet on the wrong horse.
It still seems like like if Voldemort hadn't been killed by Harry Potter, just letting him go. Like Voldemort hadn't, he was like, I don't kill a baby. I don't care. This kid's gonna come and kill me one day. Fuck this kid. I'm gonna kill him first. That's exactly what the Emperor should have done. Only not Avada Kedavra.
Right, but look how well that worked for him. He ended up surviving.
Well, there was magic in play here. This was just a kid being
and
washed over by...
And what is the force other than magic?
By...
Surrounded by... Midichlorians.
Yeah.
It surrounds us. It
those don't work nearly on the same level. There's no force protective love
the
curses.
Tree, the rock.
So anyway.
Anyways, next...
No, instead it's just immunity provided by microorganisms called midi-fucking-chlorians.
This one is really good. Leia and Luke forget to grieve in Star Wars. They both overcome tragedies very quickly in these movies. Like, Owen and Brew dying, Luke is like, ah, fuck them. But when the old man he's known for literally a week dies, he can't get over it.
Yeah.
Well, he might have a long ride back and he might have been crying his little eyes out.
But that's something they should have. They should have shown. And then Leia, with her entire planet being blown to smithereens, she's like, "Ah, fuck it! I got this guy. I want to give a blowjob to. So whatever." And create the next series, asshole.
I don't know how to explain that.
Technically,
one.
Two assholes that she'd like to give a blowjob to in the first movie because it's very commonly known that George Lucas didn't really solidly have a plan for the other.
It's true, he did not.
No, he didn't.
So, and here's the last one, and this one is, you really makes you think, and this is Obi-Wan's blatant sexism.
Oh, God, yeah.
All right.
Absolutely.
He puts all of his chips on the one-trick pony that is Luke, and despite knowing about Leia, and he has to be reminded that she even exists by Yoda, despite the fact that he was there for the birth.
Again, poor foreshadowing by George Lucas.
Yes, obviously, but I mean, that's... She presumably has all the raw power and talent, you know, that Luke does, but he's like, you know what? I think Luke can do this. Fuck bitches, get money, am I right?
Well, and maybe, again, he thought since he was overlooking Luke to, you know, help him guide him on his journey, you know, going with the prequels, not going with what was already established, that maybe he didn't know that Leia was as strong with the Force. Maybe he just thought Luke would be the strong one.
Luke would take after Anakin, and Leia would take
and still,
after
and still Padme. Be still be sexist and to just like just
still
to,
providing to this point.
I'm you're right. It is. I should just shut up. I'll stop.
The '70s were a weird time.
The '70s were a weird time.
Yeah, well, I think it's a lot of that. And when you take a story, what Lucas did, and he goes, "Well, nobody's going to want to read. Nobody's going to see movies about the first three things." So I'm going to write 4, 5, and 6, and 1, 2, and 3 are kind of a poor backstory. And then you base your movies off that poor backstory, and then you go back and rewrite the story, the actual story, and then make those into films. Yeah, you're going to have, I think a lot of it is just going to be, you're going to have plot loops and holes.
Well, especially if you're only providing one female entire first movie, really. I mean,
I'm severely glad they're remedying this.
No kidding,
right?
Oh, and then for Rogue One,
and then when you hear, if you ever see the AFI Lifetime Achievement Award that was given to George Lucas and Carrie Fisher comes out, and
oh, I saw that. That was hilarious.
And makes that with
so
Lucas?
Funny. No, she rips him, kind of rips him a new
him.
One, and it's hilarious. And I can't tell if she's drunk or sober. I'll post a link to it, but it is classic. But it is she's like, and I bet you let that Panamami, your panda bear, whatever the fuck her name is. I bet you let her wear underwear because you told me there is no
underwear
in space. Oh, it's so funny.
I bet she was a little high.
Oh, she was, probably.
Awesome.
But it is so... she's so on point, though, with everything that she says.
She's turned into a sass monster,
if she
would have
done anything more in the first movie, it would have changed, and I'm not necessarily saying this is for the bad or for the good, but the complete dynamic of the Star Wars universe that it has been created.
Right.
Because then it would turn into a movie more like Brave or something along those lines, where it's the, you know, the strong female, which already has weird enough connotations still in the world around us that you can't be a strong female, all of a sudden you're bossy. And she was bossy, but, you know, giving her any more quote unquote power, whether it be through the Force or something else, would tip the scales almost too much. So they had to have all these men to even this one little woman.
I mean, they actually kind of did a better job of that in Spaceballs.
They did.
Where she started out as this brainless, vapid, you know, princess, and at the end she...
You shot my hair.
That was pretty good.
But they also
for a girl. That was good for Rambo.
They also had the female drone, though, at the time, too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So
voiced by Joan Rivers.
Yes.
Fantastic.
So even there, they had more balancing than they did in the original Star Wars movie.
Do you feel that they back in the day when they were writing this, when George was whatever, do you think maybe he thought he was giving Leia the power by making her a high ranking princess/dignitary/ambassador, you know, and saying you're in a this, we're putting this female in a powerful role, and just based on when he wrote this or when he made it,
and then think of the only other female character who was in charge of the entire rebellion,
Mon Mothma,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mothma?
How did they get an actress that looks exactly like her from Rogue One?
We talked about that. They used her in Episode 3.
Yes.
Yeah.
She was the Mon Mothma in Episode 3, and she is...
Spot on.
I
have to be looking for birthmarks in
a de-agulator or something, because it looks exactly like her. It's insanity.
It's awesome. It's pretty
great.
But, again, I mean, that was just a thought. I mean... I don't know if that it certainly doesn't maybe justify it, but
it helps instead of most of the other movies that were around at that time where females played either very minor roles or the sexy roles. So.
And see, and for me, honestly, when I first saw Star Wars and all that, I thought, you know, Leia was a very strong character. And this was just me. I mean, I'm a kid. I don't know any better.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt that she was, like, very strong. She's like, into the garbage chute, you know, and I'm going to tell you what, I'm going to fucking tell you what to do, and we're going to get the hell out of here. Then she's, you know, I felt...
But that's me on a Thursday.
I know.
Yeah,
but for me...
But that's the thing.
I never thought of Leia as anything less than a powerful individual in that story. And yes, I understand everything that you're saying, and I do get all that, and I'm not trying to downplay that. I'm not trying to say that's not valid. I just want you to know that I never ever thought of Leia as anything but strong.
It's important to mention that in 5 and 6, now Lucas has a franchise, now Lucas can go, okay, we'll make you a normal female character. In 4, she is ass-kickingly awesome, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
5, not so much. She's kind of the damsel in distress.
I think it's because he did add in more... diversity within characters, quote unquote, through different species, not necessarily through sex, and that was his way of evening out everything, was always to bring the female down a little bit more, to lay out the power throughout, so she wasn't such a, you know.
Yes, but diversity and fair treatment throughout the races. Mm-hmm. That's why Lando is the good guy the whole movie.
Yeah, totally.
But I was
weird. Black guy's the bad guy? Weird.
But I was just thinking that she's the last one to leave the base on Hoth, so I don't feel that they made her any less. I don't think she made her a damsel. She didn't want to leave. I mean, not as powerful as she was in...
No, not nearly. That's my thought is...
And then, of
Leia
course...
And then the bikini. But Leia was never as powerful
and as strong of a female
character as she was in the first
movie. Yeah, I mean, the very first time when she was kidnapped, she was by herself and didn't even have any form of backup whatsoever that she knew existed.
But still gave out a healthy dose of sassafras.
Yes, and still stood up for herself. And
a fake rebel base with a big giant middle finger.
Yeah,
right. Mm-hmm. And
also, Dantooine. It's totally a Dantooine.
And faced Vader face-to-face without cowering or without... being afraid, like everybody else is afraid of Vader, and she just stood there and was like, what? Mm-hmm. Who talks first?
And then Cloud City happens, and there's
yes, that sassy teenager to her father.
Cloud City, all of a sudden, she doesn't fight back. All of a sudden, she just screams, Luke! And, you know, is being dragged away by this very small entourage.
But I mean, she finds a little bit back in Return of the Jedi, because I mean, Jabba puts her in this awful bikini outfit, which boys all love, but puts her in this outfit, and so what does she do? She takes the leash that he had her bound with and chokes him out with it.
Yeah, and then takes, and also takes the lead, and when they get rid of the Empire.
Spins,
she's like,
and then she spins the gun and starts shooting up decks with it.
Well, I meant in, and also in Empire too, when she, you know, all of a sudden, no, Lando, you're gonna fucking listen to us. I thank you for your help. We got free, thank you, but now we're fucking getting out of here.
It's not like she didn't have moments, but yeah, on the whole, she is so much cooler in the first film.
Yes, and I agree, and I'm not trying to downplay
it. I just wish there were more women in the first film. That's my only thing.
I agree with you, but the 70s, what are you going to do?
It was the 70s.
The 70s in a small budget.
Yes.
But now they're way making up with that with Rey.
Oh, yeah.
With Rey.
Oh, my God.
And with this new chick.
Sorry, I just had the...
What is her actual name?
The meme from Star Trek scroll across my brain that I saw this morning of where they had the dog with a horn on its head from Star Trek. Trying to make it seem like it's a foreign creature.
Yeah.
That's small budget. That's small budget. Why? Yeah. It's a time.
What do we got next? Let's do some quick video game news. This is actually a really cool.
Yeah.
Well, this is actually a really cool thing that I found.
Jyn Erso.
Jyn Erso is the name of the
game. J-Y-N Erso.
Oh, neat. E-R-S-O. Neat. So PAX happened. Oh, last week, I want to say?
Yeah.
I think it was last week.
Yeah, sure.
And at PAX, Adult Swim has sort of made the transfer over into video games, and which is weird.
Well, they've done mobile games for a long time.
They did a Rick and Morty mobile game that apparently is very, very popular.
The unicorn one
is also quite popular. But they have taken on a project that was originally a Kickstarter. The company that did the Kickstarter is now partnering with Adult Swim Games to produce I blow today a little bit, and I suck some too. I go from suck to blow. Oh, hey,
blow pop.
Ooh, blow pop.
Peace candy.
Blow plop.
Blow plop. What is your
gross
issue?
I have no idea.
All of us the day after Fest.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jesus.
Yes, we have also started Fest, so you might notice the degradation of our voices between shows.
I only just got it back today. I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah. Mine's back now too.
I don't talk to people.
Lucky you.
You do but like in a normal voice.
No, mostly I just give them annoying looks. Being like, you really want to talk to me?
Sounds pretty classic you.
I know.
So anyway, Adult Swim.
Anyways, Adult Swim Games has partnered up with a company that did a Kickstarter for the remaster of a classic Sega video game, Toe Jam and Earl.
Mm-hmm, nice.
Just a wonderful, wonderful decision on their part.
Right? Brilliant. So if you have never seen or heard of Toe Jam and Earl, something is wrong with you, first of all.
Or you were born in the 90s.
Or you were born in the 90s. Anyways, Toe Jam and Earl was a video game, 1991.
90 to 91.
I want to say 91. I may be wrong about that. But it follows these two guys who are aliens, Toe Jam and his buddy Earl. And they are from the planet Funkatron.
Mm-hmm.
It's not terribly racially sensitive, but that's okay because they're aliens.
I had a poster of them on my wall for the longest time as a kid.
So did I.
Nerd.
anyways, Toe Jam and Earl.
91.
91. Oh, neat.
Nice work.
Toe Jam and Earl are these aliens from Funkatron who crash land their spaceship on Earth and have to find all of the parts of their spaceship to get home.
Sounds like Pikmin from PS2.
Well before.
Well before and thoroughly better. And I like Pikmin, by the way.
Pikmin.
The game was unique because every time you started the game up, it was always different. And you could play through multiple levels of it. I think you got a passcode, too.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember if that
was true. You got the level passcode.
You got a level passcode?
Mm-hmm.
I remember there's a level passcode for Panic on Funkatron, the sequel, which was not very good.
No.
But Toe Jam and Earl are searching the entirety of Earth to find their spaceship parts, and along the way they run into some really comically satirical, typical middle America Earth characters, including the mom in the shopping cart with her baby and not paying attention to fucking anyone in front of her, just running over Toe Jam and Earl, wherever the fuck she felt like. Then there's the ice cream truck, which just sped across the screen and just bowled you over like it was no goddamn fucking chore. I don't know, words.
Your words ain't good.
I'm wording very goodly today. But it was a clever game. The music was outstanding.
Yes.
The humor of it is classic, to me anyways. And it had really creative gameplay, because every time you turned the game on, the levels were different. It was never the. It was always a randomly generated map for you to play on, and I thought that was really I don't know how many maps they put on that game, but it was a lot, because I feel like I remember maybe once or twice running into the same map mm-hmm. on that game. So there had to be at least a couple hundred different maps loaded into that game. It had great replay value, and it had just really just simple, honest concept of a storyline. There was item pickup. There was you were able to fight the humans every once in a while, but more often than not, it was just get to the next level or find the spaceship on this level. And that was so much fun to me. And Adult Swim is doing an updated version that's isometric style with 2D cartoon character Toe Jam and Earls.
I'm very excited.
Yeah, I can't wait to see what they put it out as or how much it's going to cost. But I don't care. I'm going to buy it right away. What the fuck is this noise? See, I talk about video games and
I'm enthralled.
Thank you.
So
I think
a good way to end
then.
This episode is with a very happy 50th anniversary to Star Trek.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yesterday was its official, I believe, 50th anniversary.
Yes,
it was.
And so, of course, I'm sure most of you nerds have updated your profile pictures to have to bold the goal or all.
I have not.
I have not.
I'm surprised you haven't, Rob.
Yeah. I know.
I did it right away.
Yeah, I happen to be a very diehard
and with
lifelong Trekkie.
And
I just
with this 50th anniversary, speaking of video games, Star Trek Online is now on consoles.
How is it?
Very different from its release.
Really?
They've retooled it a bit. It actually plays pretty well on the console.
You're trying to get me to play it.
I'm trying to get her to play it because I want her to play something, goddammit.
So this just real quick. This is the one that you and Graham were playing?
That was a over-the-shoulder Gears of War-style shooter that was fucking terrible.
I love the online one.
Now, it had all of the voices from the movie. Chris Pine did a voice.
Nice.
Zachary Quinto did a voice. All the original cast. This is the Star Trek MMO.
Franchise game? The one you're talking about for the Chris Pine stuff. Okay.
Yeah, with the Chris Pine stuff is the franchise game.
This Star Trek Online, the one that takes place...
is the MMO.
After
Spock leaves, after Spock goes back in time.
Okay.
It's in the Prime Universe after Spock has left.
Oh, that's the beginning of the Kelvin timeline.
Yes.
Right. That's that's a different one than the online Star Trek game that I was playing.
No, it's not the Kelvin timeline.
No, I know. It's after the beginning of the movie in the Kelvin timeline. Because in the beginning of the movie...
Yeah, but
Spock,
in the Prime Universe. So
it's in the Prime Universe.
Then this is a different one than I played.
What did you play?
There was one that I was playing online. It kind of takes place slightly after Next Gen. You could, like...
And the Klingons and the humans... Or the Klingons and the Federation.
You could either play as the Federation or the Klingons?
You could either play as a... I know you could play as a Federation, but you could, like, totally design the suits, the way your uniform, the way you want
it. It's the same one.
Star Trek Online.
It keeps going, man.
Yeah.
Oh, well,
we're talking about the same game.
Like I said, there have been expansions. Okay. They've retooled it. It's bigger.
When you said Prime, I'm just thinking of the...
Prime is where Next Generation and the original series and Voyager and Deep Space Nine took place. Okay. That's called the Prime Universe.
Right. That's the Prime timeline.
Right.
The Kelvin timeline is the timeline for the new films.
Okay.
The
so this is the same game.
Okay.
So you, but now, whereas before you immediately start on your ship is blowing up and you become captain in 10 seconds from ensign. Now I actually start as a cadet. You have to do a little bit of training and then kind of Kirk-y and you're made first officer right away because this war is going on with the Dominion and the Borg and the Klingons and the Romulans. You kind of go from cadet to first officer and then of course your captain gets into a spot and then you're made captain and then you have to actually make decisions and talk to your first officer and stuff like that. So it's a little bit different where it's a little more interactive with your crew than it was before, but it's still, I'm actually finding it pretty enjoyable on the console. It plays pretty well.
On the console.
You can PS4 and Xbox One.
Nice.
I'll have to buy it.
Free to play.
Here's my question. Are those
free
servers...
To lay?
Free to lay.
Free to lay.
Are those servers connected with...
No.
No, so it's just a PS4 server, just an Xbone server.
Just like a DC Universe.
And you can still play online. You can play like you could when you were playing on the the desktop and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. Yeah. But you can't play your desktop character with your friend who's on right.
No,
an Xbone.
And I was kind of hoping I could because yeah. I have a lot of stuff on the PS. On the PC, like I have a character who's I think a lieutenant admiral or something like that.
Yeah, and
I have an amazing ship. I have all these outfits and stuff that I've bought. Like my captain has kind of a 7 of 9 thing going on with her suit. Yeah,
nice.
Because of course I play as a girl. Because
you're awesome.
Because I am awesome.
No,
she was white. I'm black. Now I'm black.
Oh, now you're black.
Right. I had a Chakotay thing going on. I had the dude with the face tattoo.
And I made her trill too.
Oh God, so I love Chipotle in Voyager.
Right. So I made this one trill, so she's got like the the spots
nice.
Going
nice.
On.
I like it.
I'm trying to get her to play. You should try.
I,
play.
Okay, I it's recommend
his biggest,
it.
His biggest draw is saying I can shoot Klingons in the crotch.
Yeah, yeah. You can.
But it was very good on PC when I first got it 3 years ago.
PC.
And she does. You get motion sick.
And I do.
Which is why she doesn't like a lot of the first person stuff.
Oh, sure.
And my draw for her is it's not like Wing Commander or you do third person in this one.
Oh, you do. But you can do both.
Yeah.
Yeah,
the point I'm trying to make to her is that the third person, the camera works a bit like Kingdom Hearts, and the space stuff, it's so far third person that you're not getting that swivel, that motion sickness. It's not like
watching a
Wing
movie.
Commander or even No Man's Sky where it's all very swirly and whirly.
Like
this one is just
seconds.
you fly your ship over yonder as slowly as humanly fucking conceivable, because when you're in battle, apparently you can't go to full impulse. Fuck you. But you can activate an impulse booster. That makes no fucking sense. Anyway, it's a game, whatever. But no, so you should try it.
By the way, since you brought it up, No Man's Sky came out, and it has come out to just god-awful reviews. What did you think?
It does not have a lot of the stuff that it promised, but I think it has room to grow.
Okay.
I think they were being crunched into release, and so they released what they had. I think it has a lot of potential. I think it's a beautiful game. It's enthralling, and it's fun to play. It doesn't have everything that they promise, and that is disappointing, but I haven't been disappointed.
I don't know, trying to find that last character on that planet.
Fuck. So you get credits for discovering things with the old visor, and if you discover all the species on a planet, you get like this. You get 250,000 to 300,000 credits. Which is almost a new, really nice ship.
Yeah, he almost got one that looked like Slave One.
The one I have is actually Slave One mixed with a TIE fighter right now. It's a very cool looking ship. But there's this X-Wing looking one that I want really bad. So anyway, I cannot find this last species. I've trekked all
everywhere.
Over this fucking planet.
Hours.
Yeah.
I can't find it. I finally gave up and I went to the moon. And the moon is actually probably the most gorgeous landscape I've seen so far.
Mm. Nice.
But, yeah, I'm going to travel to the other side of the planet and see what I can find.
Nice. So, okay, real quick, and I'm cribbing this idea from our movie scale. Full price, Steam sale, Humble Bundle, or don't get it. Or, in this
Which
case...
Which game are you talking about?
No Man's Sky. Because STO is free to play.
Yeah, STO is free. I would say at this point, because it does... I bought a day one, and I'm not disappointed.
Wait a few years.
But this is this type of game I've been waiting for a long, long time. So I guess I still have there are things I was promised, but I didn't deliver, but I enjoy what it has. I would say Steam sale.
Okay.
Because I think they're going to release some things that are going to be outstanding.
Okay. My thought is I will probably wait a year or two while they figure it out and roll out all of the things that they want to roll out and then get it personally.
I say if it's on Steam for $20-$25, don't hesitate.
Don't hesitate. I'll bet you it is right now.
I'm gonna post a link to this, and we don't need to talk about it, but then just my video game thing that I wanted to bring up was there's a Friday the 13th game out there. It's a multiplayer game, and it's gory as shit. And I kind of want to learn more about it and kind of want to play it. I don't know. I don't know if I want to play it, but I'll post the link to it. Maybe we'll talk about it next time.
Awesome.
It's fucking weird. So just to recap real quick, we are going to try to do a live thing this weekend from Fest.
Find us on Facebook.
Yeah, find us on Facebook and we'll go live. You can see what we do at Fest, or at least see us at Fest standing backstage or something.
Yeah.
And
it'll be weird.
It will be.
And our pimp your shit one more time after.
Yeah.
Well, I was going to let him talk about his t-shirts first. I was being polite.
And the t-shirts are changing. I decided that before I even heard the complaint. So
yeah,
that will be changing. So you can order. You can order your shirt in any size, any color.
I did not
any
like
type.
The graphic.
I was fine with the graphic.
Really?
I just didn't like the catchphrase.
I didn't like
the graphic. The best threesome ever.
Yeah, I did not like the graphic that you had put together.
Well, it's the one my sister-in-law designed, so thanks.
No, the one for the t-shirt. The one that you had on the...
The one that said best threesome ever?
Yeah, the one in the big black block letters? Or
yeah,
was that...
that's the one that my sister-in-law designed.
Okay.
Wait a half sleep for this.
Do it.
Oh my god, he's gonna do it. Wait for it. Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen,
if you can design a better graphic for it, Rob, by all means, have at. Otherwise, I'm going to use what I want to use.
Mike's just been dropped, but only like you know, in
figuratively
speaking, because they're expensive.
Anyways, so now you can buy them in any style, color, print, whatever.
Hooray!
It's $20. If you're local, I can ship them out to you, and we'll go from there. So, Crystal. Thanks for being here.
Oh, very welcome. You are very, very welcome. And again, this is Crystal from Digital and Vellum. I am primarily on YouTube, but I also am really, really active on my Facebook page. Go ahead, find me there. Instagram, Twitter. I have my own website, digitalandvellum.com, as well as just normal... I said Twitter already.
Did you? Okay,
I did.
Wow, how?
I'm on Snapchat too, but I don't really post about books there much.
So your Snapchat handle? That's
your Snapchat is what?
Today words are not my friend.
All right,
everything's Digital and Vellum for me. So check me out, like, subscribe, follow me. I'm pretty cool.
And we will post links to all that stuff in the description.
I didn't even know she had a Digital and Vellum Snapchat.
It's the same one that you see me on, honey.
Did you change it? Because it was Geek Reader or something.
Yes, I changed it.
It just shows up your name. I don't know.
Aw. All right, then. All right, that being said, I'm Nick.
I'm Rob.
I'm Kevin.
I'm Crystal.
Brought to you by Mind's Eye Comics.
In Egan.
It's about time you got that right.
Views held here by the nerds of Best Threesome Ever do not necessarily reflect the views of men everywhere.